What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
98.5 Sunshine FM. Alan Jones has been a household name for over 25 years. He joined the Cathedral Choir when he was just 9 and was lead soloist within 2 years. His remarkable voice led to a recording career, and before his voice broke at the age of 16, he'd already sold more than 6 million albums, sung for the Pope, performed a private recital for Charles and Diana, and sung at the wedding of Bob Geldof and Paula Yates. He's in Perth this Thursday for a concert at the Concert Hall, and he joins me on the line now. Alan Jones, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine
FM. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, I've mentioned some very brief details from your early career. I hope you'll forgive me for mentioning your age, but you're 37 now. Do you find that there are people who still expect you somehow to be that young boy with the angelic voice?
No, not anymore, thank goodness. although, you know, nothing against that angelic boy with the all right voice. But, you know, it was a fantastic time for me, 4 very kind of exciting years where I got to achieve so much as a little kid. But now, no, you know, people realise that I'm back doing what I've always done, really, you know, the presenting, the singing and occasional dancing on television as well.
Yes, I heard about that dancing. We'll find out more about that in just a moment. But how did you actually cope with the fame that came your way in those early years as such a young boy?
It was pretty easy because my mum and dad made me go back to school, which was a normal comprehensive school in North Wales. So, you know, at one point in the weekend, I'd be in Hollywood or singing in the Vatican or doing something very exciting like that. But come Monday morning, I'd be back in David Hughes Comprehensive. So I tended to kind of lead a dual life, if you like, just a normal schoolboy who was, fun-loving and kind of interested in soccer and girls and all that sort of business. But then the weekend came the serious job of singing on stage.
And what did the other kids at school think of that?
Oh, they teased me quite a lot, you know, but you tend to find out early on who your friends are, and to be honest with you, they had more interesting things to think about than what I was doing at weekends.
When your voice broke at 16, did you think that that might be the end of your career?
I wasn't bothered, to be honest with you, because I knew I'd sing again, whether I'd sing in the bath or whether I'd sing, in Perth, was in the lap of the gods. But luckily, you know, my voice came back, and also in the period I didn't sing, I got to try my hand at other things, you know, and now I would say that my career in Britain is really cut down the line. You know, half of it is singing and the other half is presenting on the radio and television.
For those of us here in Australia who don't know quite so much about what you've been doing in those intervening years, of course, you do have quite a significant broadcasting career. Tell us about some of the things that you're involved in there.
Well, I'm very lucky to be a presenter on BBC Radio 2, which is the nation's sort of favourite station in Britain. It's listened to by about sort of 14 million people weekly. I do a live Sunday morning show, which kind of has a spiritual slant on it. I also sit in for quite a few of the daily presenters on Radio 2. And, you know, that's a phenomenal experience, you know, broadcasting to 7 million people on a Monday morning, you know, wet Monday morning in Britain with no script in front of you. I love that aspect of it, that, you know, you just have to talk and see what happens, really. And then on the other end of the scale, on Sunday evenings, I do a choral program for Radio 3, which is, you know, explores all kinds of choral music throughout the world. And on Radio Wales, I do a sort of an hour in-depth interview every Sunday as well, and still present Songs of Praise in Britain. And various other programs as well, like quite a few quizzes, and just finished a DVD of my sort of ultimate Christmas carols for Christmas Eve for Britain. And next year it'll be running as a series, sort of my ultimate hymns and the stories behind them.
Obviously, your music career started off with those choral works, and you're doing a lot of different music these days, but you still feel fairly much tied to a lot of that music. It still is great music for you to listen to and to play on the radio?
Yeah, and also to perform. You know, I've never kid myself that I'm going to be an opera singer or anything like that, but, you know, I listen to all kinds of music. But and so with the tour I'm doing in Australia at the moment, I wanted to kind of incorporate more kind of the popular type music as well. So, you know, I don't imagine there are many tours that, you know, in 1 hour and a half or whatever, you'll hear musical theatre, you'll also hear classical pieces of music, you'll also hear hymns, you'll also hear pop music. So there's a bit of everything, really, you know. I'll always be known for that sort of hymn music, and I love doing those hymns, things like Be Still My Soul and How Great Thou Art. But equally, you know, in my concerts you get You Raise Me Up and even If by Bread, you know, the American 60s group. I try to find music that has kind of some spiritual or uplifting meaning and then give it my own slant on it, really. So, you know, that's what I'm about, really.
So the spiritual side of things continues to be a main push for you?
Yeah, because I think music has an amazing ability. You know, I spent this summer playing Caractacus Potts in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and you'd think, well, there's no spiritual music in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but actually, you know, Hushabye Mountain, a beautiful ballad that the father, Caractacus Potts, sings to his children and his dead wife before him, you know, has an amazing spiritual resonance, really, you know, but it's not a religious piece of music in any way, shape or form, but, you know, it has that kind of, that soul-enhancing feel, if you like, and that's what I want music to be about. I don't really want to just stand on stage banging out songs. I want my music to take me somewhere else as well, and if that's the case, then hopefully the audience will come with me.
Do you think we often miss seeing the spiritual in the day-to-day stuff of life?
Yeah, I think some people do, but I think the majority of people these days, especially the world we live in, that people are always after that kind of spiritual uplift, or the fact that, you know, it's a pretty tough world we live in, so if something takes you away from that, even if it's just for a couple of hours, then good, I think.
You did mention that you have danced on television. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I moved badly next to a Russian, put it that way. I did Dancing with the Stars, the equivalent Strictly Come Dancing in Britain, 3.5 years ago now, thinking that, you know, it'll be fun, whatever, you know. But it was amazing, amazing experience, because I never danced before, and now, after a few gin and tonics, you can't stop me. But I was rubbish, really. I got to the semi-final, as I say, hiding behind a Russian. But, you know, in the 3.5 years that have gone by since doing the program, not a day goes by without somebody in Britain talking to me about it. It's phenomenal. You know, the feedback has been incredible. And, you know, it was just good fun, Saturday night entertainment. And I was honoured to be part of it, really.
So do you still dance around just a little bit, even when you're not in front of the cameras?
Put it this way, I'm not going to be dancing on this Australian tour.
Tell us, what are we to expect from the Australian tour? When you're in Perth on Thursday night at the concert hall, mm-hmm. what can the audience expect?
Well, it's very much an evening with. So I've always done this on my tours of Australia, although I've never done Perth before. I do sort of a question and answer session where you can get your card and write your question, and hopefully I'll answer whatever you want. And that way, I don't want it ever to be a kind of stuffy evening. It's a very light-hearted evening, but equally, you know, from having a major laugh with one of the question and answers, I then be kind of performing all kinds of music. I'm going to be doing Hushabye this time around, because Hushabye Mountain, but equally there'll be Reason to Believe, there'll be Whenever God Shines His Light. So, you know, whereas before I've toured Australia with a string quartet and harp and piano, this time I've got guitar, bass and drums as well. So it makes for a very varied musical evening, but hopefully a fun-filled one.
Well, even just a quick look through the album Reason to Believe, we can see that there's such a variety of music. It must have been a delight to be able to come together and put a range of music together for that album.
Yeah, it is. It's getting harder and harder in Britain to do that, to be honest with you, because these days there are so many, I don't know what you call them, but crossover, they call them in Britain, artists. And, you know, I've always been someone who just wants to sing good music, regardless if it's hymns, regardless if it's music theatre, or regardless if it's pop. I love the moment when I'm on stage singing You Raise Me Up, or equally How Great Thou Art, or Be Still My Soul, or If, I mentioned before, by Bread. You know, I find that one guitar, one voice, you know, if a picture paints 1,000 words, then why can't I paint you? Hopefully, kind of, it stirs something in people, you know, because when I'm on stage performing them, it tends to be a kind of a very otherworldly experience for me. You know, I tend to go somewhere, I'm not quite sure where it is, but, you know, it tends to be a special moment. So I wherever I am, I'm always sort of open to new music, and hopefully then I can put my own slant on it.
So I suppose living out of a suitcase while you're on tour would have its drawbacks, but once you're on stage, you're still loving it just as much as ever?
Yeah, I do, and it changes from year to year. You know, I would say that the voice is always changing, because it's not totally mature yet. As you say, I'm 37, but, you know, my voice didn't break till I was 16, so, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the future. But I'm enjoying my singing as much as ever. My family are with me also on this tour, so they've never been to Australia before. So it's great, you know, it's been a lovely experience so far.
It sounds like you're having a wonderful time on the road in Australia, and it's great that you've included Perth this time around, because I know there's a lot of fans here who are really going to appreciate seeing you live. I hope you get a bit of a chance to look around.
I'm going to have not a lot, I'm afraid, but you know, the fact is I've always tried to push for Perth on my last two tours as well, and it never quite happened, but this time it's happened. So, you know, it's a good thing. I'm looking forward to performing also with the Perth Male Voice Choir. There's 40 plus people in that choir, and you know, it will do what you expect. There's a few Welsh ballads in there, and also the Stirring How Great Thou Art. So it should be, you know, quite a powerful evening.
This is probably a question that you've been asked before, and I know it's a difficult one, but when you look back at the remarkable career that you've had, what are the highlights?
Apart from talking to you, of course, there have been so many. You know, as a boy, I suppose there were two or three major ones. Singing with Leonard Bernstein live with him conducting was incredible. Singing at Bob Geldof and Paula Yates's wedding was incredible. Equally, singing for the Prince and Princess of Wales in their private apartments, just for the two of them, was you know, an amazing experience. As a man, you know, coming back and having a, you know, hit records and stuff has been phenomenal, although I take it for what it is now, that you never know what's going to happen in that aspect of things, because having a recording career in Britain is getting harder and harder, really, because there's so many people doing it. Presenting on Radio 2 for me was always a highlight, you know, standing in for Terry Wogan, who is an icon in Britain, you know, it was an amazing experience. Equally, presenting on television, having the opportunity to tour Australia, you know, I never ever thought in my wildest dreams that that would happen. So in those respects, it's been incredible. But away from the music, away from performing, you know, the most important thing for me has been, you know, being a father, you know, having two wonderful kids, although I wasn't saying that on the flight over. but you know, just seeing them develop and stuff, it's a major pressured thing, because, you know, especially in the world we live in, it's kind of a, you hope that their future is going to be a bright one. But you know, just being a father, yeah, I suppose, is the major ultimate highlight.
Well, it's been a remarkable career and a remarkable life so far. We're looking forward to seeing where the journey takes you next. But thank you so much for spending time talking to us, speaking to Alad Jones, who'll be in Perth at the Concert Hall this Thursday evening. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks a lot. All the best, yeah.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.